Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Through thousands of years of literature, stories and genres come and go. Some have more staying power than others. American audiences always seem to have an appetite for murder mystery stories. Our next guest can attest to that. Ellie Alexander has written some 30 books, most of them mysteries. She gives a talk at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University in Ashland on Thursday. Edwin Battistella is one of the members of the Friends of the Hannon Library, and we'll talk to him first because he's here in the studio with me. Welcome, Ed.
Welcome. It's great to be back in the studio.
Yeah, it's and we've had you in to talk about your own books in the past, but here we are talking about Ellie Alexander's. Start off talking about the group itself, the Friends of the Hannon Library.
Yeah, the Friends of the Hannon Library is a sort of support group for the Hannon Library. It's an affiliate of the SOU Foundation. And, you know, what the library is a great resource for students, faculty, community members, the Ollie folks. And what the Friends does is a Friends membership gives people, you know, certain ability to check things out from the library, to use audiovisual materials and so on. You get a library account or you can use the catalog. But even more important, the Friends membership supports the great special collections in the library, the Bailey Renaissance Collection, the Roy Saigo Multicultural Literature Collection, the Will Brown Wine Collection, and all the great digital collections. There's the material on the Klamath Siskiyou Bioregion, First Nations ethnographic materials. Peter Britt photographs are available on the digital archives. And, of course, the Stories of Southern Oregon videos.
With Maureen Flanagan Battistella, who has been a regular feature of the Jefferson Exchange until to the end of the year. We do have Ellie Alexander on the phone now. Ellie, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me.
So looking through the titles of your books, Muffin But the Truth in the Bake Shop series and Hold On for Beer Life, the puns hurt. How long have you been giving books these kinds of titles?
I am on my 30th punny book at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. And most of those books are in the Bake Shop mystery series. Does that combine a couple of loves of yours?
It absolutely does. And, you know, one of the things that I personally appreciate about the pun, if we go back in time, Shakespeare was such a fan of the pun and used word plays. But I think what it does is it informs readers. If you're picking up a title, Muffin But the Truth, you probably know that you're going to be engaging in a very light and hopefully fun read.
Well, we'll talk about that. That must be an interesting line to straddle as an author, though, because, I mean, these are books in which people, they do die, don't they?
They do. There's always a body. Yes, it's true.
And so how do you straddle that line between, you know, keeping a murder mystery interesting and keeping it light and upbeat?
Yeah, so I think in this genre in particular, made popular, of course, by Agatha Christie back in the day, the balance is that the body and the murder are not so gruesome. They're the opposite of modern-day CSI. You're not really investigating the crime scene. It's more a look into relationships, which really then speak to this village-like setting, hence why Ashland works so well for the Bake Shop mysteries. The sleuth is focused on bringing justice to the world. So they're almost like a modern-day fantasy in some ways, and I think one of the reasons they resonate with readers is because we don't get a lot of closure in the real world. But in this, you know that something bad is going to happen. There will be a body, but at the end of the day, it's the last page, the community is going to come back together, and the killer will be behind bars.
And you say they're actually set in Ashland?
They are all set in Ashland, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is the Bake Shop a mythical one, or is it based on something for real?
The Bake Shop is like an amalgam of many places, although it is where I imagine Mix sits. So Jules, the pastry chef, also, you know, amateur sleuth who gets invited on a crime scene, which of course would never happen in real life either, has a bird's eye view of everything going on in the plaza.
That is an interesting element of mysteries, both in books and on TV, it seems like. The people who really have no business being at a crime scene getting invited there, like, you know, the ministers and the old ladies and the bakers.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's one of the things that readers appreciate about them, because you can put yourself in that view temporarily and think like, oh, I also can be an armchair detective. And as writers, if we do our job correctly, the reader has the same opportunity as the sleuth to piece together all of the clues. They're all embedded in the story, and there's no cheating allowed. Like, you can't have you know, this sort of aha moment where the sleuth wakes up from a dream and knows who the killer is. Like, everything is embedded in the story. So I think readers enjoy that puzzle.
I deliberately hadn't looked at all the titles until now, and so, because I was waiting for the impact of the puns. So Catch Me If You Candy I had seen before, but I don't think I'd seen Mocha, She Wrote, and Chilled to the Cone, Nothing Bunt Trouble. You have a lot of fun with these, don't you?
I really do. And, you know, I don't take myself seriously, but I do think it's been interesting because especially this style of mystery, the cozy, as it's called, is really having a moment. In part, I think, thanks to the pandemic, a new generation of readers has discovered them. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't receive email from a reader who said these stories were with them during cancer treatment or the death of a family member or divorce. So I think that, you know, there's something about reading for escape. We can read for a lot of reasons, but my goal in these stories is that, you know, when you're in that world, it's just a time to completely practice self-care.
A level of comfort along with some comfort food. I just happened to run across Another One Bites the Crust. And
no.
Ed Battistella.
Oh,
it seems
so bad.
Yeah. Ellie seems like a natural to bring then to the Hannon Library.
Yeah, it's a great, you know, I when I think about these books, I'm a big fan, and I'm much more at home with baked goods and beer than in grisly bodies and things. So the sort of cozy genre is really working for me, particularly now. I think Ellie's right that people are kind of tired of grisly things.
Yeah. As you mentioned, this is not a CSI kind of crime scene, and I thank you for the reminder that Agatha Christie set us this way a long time ago. But the idea that it doesn't have to be a bloody horrible mess to be an enjoyable story. In fact, better that it's not.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, you know, there's space for everything. And for me, from a writing perspective, and being such a reader first and foremost, I'm just really touched that young readers are starting to flock to the genre, because just getting readers reading at all these days is a good thing.
Yeah, I just every time I look at a title, I just end up cracking up anew. Caught Bread-Handed, Meet Your Baker. This is good stuff. And so how have you managed to crank out so many books, Ellie Alexander?
I'm pretty regimented in my writing schedule. I write a first draft in about 8 weeks. I write 2,000 words every day, and then I sit the manuscript aside and let it simmer like a fine wine for a few months, and then come back and really layer in and edit all of the food writing or the sensory details. So I'm sort of I'm a creative machine these days, but I really find myself so attached to these characters. You know, for the Big Shot series, I just delivered book 18, so they feel like sitting down with longtime friends to me.
Well, the way you describe the process, though, about letting them kind of age, I mean, is it a bit of a row, row, row your boat kind of round thing? I mean, as you set that work aside, do you move on to the next?
I that's one of the reasons that I've ended up writing multiple series, because I found early on in my writing career it was too hard to let the story go. I would just sort of perseverate on ideas. And so what I've learned is if I just write a terrible, awful, horrible first draft that no one would want to see, where there's literally nothing other than they walked and talked and I'm just trying to get the bones of the story out, if I can set it aside and do something else, if I can start a new story that's not in the same world, then I can come back to it with fresh eyes a few months later and really see, like, oh, okay, this is where the story needs a lot of work.
Ellie Alexander, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a mystery writer with the author of more than 30 books, coming to speak at the Hannon Library in Ashland on Thursday. What time, Ed Battistella?
7 o'clock in the Mies room at the Hannon Library. And there's also a Zoom link that you can find on the Hannon Library webpage if you don't want to go out.
Ed Battistella with us in the studio as well, and you can join the conversation with your emails at jx@jeffnet.org. Ellie, I've only been talking about the Bake Shop mystery series. There's also the Sloan Krause mystery series, which appear to have a beer theme. Ed was just holding up, was it Death on Tap?
Right, Death on Tap.
Yeah, I'm just living my ultimate fantasy because I have to spend a lot of time in bakeries and craft breweries, which is not such a bad gig for research. That series is set in Leavenworth, Washington. I love the idea of taking a real place, especially a place like Ashland or Leavenworth, that has kind of a villagey vibe, and then creating my own vision of that world. So that's been really fun to do with the Leavenworth series as well.
So, well, I've got a question, Ellie. This is Ed. I wonder if you've thought about having Sloane Krause and Jules meet up in a book, do a little crossover where maybe Sloane visits Ashland to check out the breweries or vice versa.
Great question, Ed. In fact, I just finished writing a short story where that very thing happens. They're at a literary event, and Jules is selling beautiful pastries, and Sloane has paired them with craft beer.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Great. So there is a crossover there. I noticed that you don't just work on your own stuff, which obviously takes up a lot of your time, but talk about the ways in which you work with and encourage other writers, Ellie.
Yeah, that has been probably the most surprising path of my career and something that I necessarily didn't envision initially. I come from a family of educators. My dad was an English teacher who focused on Shakespeare, hence this series. And my mom was a therapist for the school district. My former training is as a speech therapist. So I think education just comes naturally. And I'm really a believer that we need more stories in the world and anytime we can tap into our creative energy. So I have segued in the last couple of years to teaching mystery writing and writing coaching, which has just been such an incredible experience, especially to watch two of my students have gone on to sign book deals already, signed with agents. So I feel like a proud mom.
Wow. Congratulations on that and to them as well. What is the most common stuck point? I mean, how do most newer writers get high-centered in the writing process, and how are you able to help them past that?
I think most writers don't go in with a plan. There's always in the writing community, there's this ongoing debate as to whether you're a plotter or a pantser. So whether you have a plan to begin with or whether you just sort of sit down and let the story flow. I think for a first book in particular, you need a plan. You need some sort of vision. It doesn't have to be 40 pages, but you need at least a sketch of where the story is going. And then the other thing that I see is a lot of writers get really caught up in this idea of writer's block. And in other professions, people don't get blocked. You don't come on the radio and go, "Oh, I'm blocked today. I guess I'm not going to interview anyone."
Right.
A doctor doesn't say, "I'm having a bad day, so I'm not going to do surgery." I think that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I try to do a lot of strategies with new writers about if you're feeling stuck, what are strategies that get you out of that? One of my favorite tips is to talk about everything that wouldn't happen next. So instead of feeling like, "Oh, I have no idea what's happening next," you flip it and you're like, "Okay, well, she wouldn't go talk to the police or she wouldn't do this." And that often opens up a whole new channel of ideas.
Yeah, you primarily write nonfiction, but have you had some stuck moments and used some techniques to get past them?
I do. Sometimes I get a stuck moment, and what I've always tried to do is stop when things are going well. The downside of that is that I sort of wake up at 3 a.m. and want to get back to it. So yeah, if I get stuck, then I read something else and try and get unstuck that way.
But that drive to get up at 3 a.m, Ellie, probably has a lot to do with successful writing. I mean, if you got a story you're just burning to tell and get down on the keyboard, that really helps.
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of times it's just moving your body too, or physically writing something down on a piece of paper at 3 a.m. and then just letting it go and knowing okay, I've got that thought. I can pick it back up later.
All right. So, Ed, as we close out here, tell us again when the event is with Ellie at the Hannon Library.
Yeah, it's this Thursday, February 9th, 7 p.m. at the Hannon Library on the third floor in the Meese Room. And our new university librarian should be there, Carrie Forbes. So you'll have an opportunity to meet her. She's just started in September and is a great addition to the campus.
All right. Good to hear all that. Ellie Alexander, it's a pleasure to meet with you and have a chance to talk with you before that event at the Hannon Library on Thursday.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. And that'll do it for today's exchange. Thank you, Ed Battistella, for showing up as well. JeffExchange.org is our website. Angela Decker is our senior producer. Nash Bennett's our assistant producer. Our student assistant, Zach Beagle, is at the controls today. Maxwell and Terry Longshore composed our theme music. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next time on the Jefferson Exchange. Stay safe and have a great day.